हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् 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 श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम् हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः We have completed Anubandha Chatushtayam. Adhikari is the one who has Purushartha Nischayaha and who wants to know the truth in order to accomplish the already accomplished end called moksha. And Vishayaha is the subject matter of the textbook, understanding the identity between the individual and the total, the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. And there is sambandha. Sambandha means connection, a relationship. It is very important for a student to know the connections so that he will be very focused. One should know, why am I studying this shastram? What am I going to get by studying this shastram? And how this knowledge that I gain by studying this shastram is going to help? And what I really ultimately expect to attain by attaining this knowledge by studying this shastram? And what is there? Now, please come in. So all these connections we need to understand. That's what we saw as pramatru pramana sambandha, then pramana prameya sambandha, then sadhana sadhya sambandha. All these connections are known means one is very clear about his very pursuit of knowledge and what he is doing. And ultimately the prayojanam or the benefit of the study of the shastram is the attainment of knowledge, which itself is moksha, the absolute end, accomplishing which everything else becomes as well accomplished as it were. So these four anubandhas, the four factors required for the textbook that we have seen elaborately before, and now we enter into the next lesson. The actual teaching is going to begin. And it's such a beautiful text, you understand all the basic, even technical names also, in terms of even the names of methods of unfoldment used in the shastra. So we're going to see that. So with all patience, you've been listening to these things. And we have also covered the qualifications required for a pramata. We are entering into the next new lesson today. And here we are entering into the 30th sentence here. Next portion comes here. It is sort of having completed the first portion of the textbook or first chapter of the textbook. There is no division. It is not presented in many chapters. The whole teaching is given together. And here we can take, because Anubandha Chatushtayam, the four Anubandhaha, they constitute the one part of the teaching or one portion of the teaching, or you can say one chapter of the teaching, which is complete now. And we are going to see the next lesson now. And in this, the following sentence which we are going to read now, the teacher presents the importance of studying the scripture with the help of the teacher, which means one should not study the Shastram by oneself without the help of a teacher. Because now this person, as a pramata, as the one who wants to know, one who's going to know the truth, knowing the value of the knowledge, and he knows that Shastram is the Pramanam. Therefore, Shastram means Vedanta Shastram. So one has to study Upanishads, because Upanishads serve as means of knowledge of the truth. By knowing the truth, I can accomplish the moksha. I can become free from bondage. I can free from all limitations. Therefore, let me study Upanishads, or let me study the Vedanta Shastram. So that, or if a person knows Sanskrit language also, and he can try to read the Upanishads by himself, or he can, if he does not know Sanskrit language, he can try to read the translations. One can go for that. One can go for studying on his own. But that is not right. Because he knows the value of the study, value of the knowledge, he knows. So why should I not study on my own? Which means he cannot understand. So that's what he says. He really highlights the necessity, the importance of the teacher. He presented in this sentence. Look at this. I am adhikari. I am adhikari. This adhikari, this student of Vedanta Shastram, who has Purushartha Nischayaha, who knows the value of knowledge, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, who accepts Shastram as the means of knowledge, Pramanam, such a student, what should he do? Look at this. He should approach the teacher. Now, the qualified student, okay, this prepared student now should approach the teacher. Look at this. Janana Maranadi. Samsara Anala Santaptaha Deepta Shiraha Jala Rashim Iva. Upahara Panihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Gurum Upasritya Tam Anusarati tad vijnanartham saha gurumeva abhigachet samitpanihi shrotriyam brahmanishtam ityadi shrutehe. So what is said here in this particular portion? I am adhikari. This adhikari, this mumukshuhu jignyasuhu. We have to say now, mumukshuhu, the one who is burning desire for freedom from limitations, and one who is keen to, very serious to attain this knowledge, jignyasu sacha adhikari, approaches the teacher, gurum upasaret, gurum upasaret, should approach the teacher. And who should be the teacher? That is said here, the teacher must be gurum upasaret, which, who should be the teacher? The teacher who is shrotriyaha and brahmanishtaha. The two words are very important words. Shrotriyaha and brahmanishtaha, the two words tell you the qualification of a teacher. Shrotriyaha means the teacher who has profound knowledge of the scripture, Vedanta Shastram. See, one who has the profound knowledge of the scriptures definitely would know how to communicate, definitely would know the method of unfoldment. So, he must be a Shrotriyaha. And he must be a Brahmanishtaha also. Brahmanishtaha means what? The one who remains steadfast in the vision of the truth. One whose vision is identical with the vision or vision revealed by the Shastra is called Brahmanishtaha. Suppose if the teacher is only a Shrotriyaha, not a Brahmanishtaha, the teacher can communicate, but the teacher may also say, Upanishad says you are Brahman. Understand? Which makes a big difference. Aham Brahma Asmi, Upanishad teaches, which means for him, it is more a teaching what the Upanishad says. Of course, Upanishad says, and what Upanishad says doesn't contradict with my vision, or my vision doesn't contradict with the Upanishadic teaching. Understand? Therefore, he is not just Shrotriyaha, he is also Brahmanishtaha. Suppose if the person is Brahmanishtaha but not Shrotriyaha. There are many Mahatmas who are Brahmanishtaha because of their Purva Janma Samskara, because of their hard work in the previous lives. Sometimes there may be Brahmanishtaha, but if they are not Shrotriyaha, then they cannot communicate. They can be bowed to for inspiration, for Ashirvadaha, but they cannot communicate. For Brahmanishtaha, even if a person is a Brahmanishtaha, still he cannot be related to as a teacher, Guruhu. And even if a person is a Shrotriyaha, also it will be more academic. Therefore, the teacher must be Brahmanishtaha and a Shrotriyaha. So, Brahmanishtam, Gurum, Upasarati. Upasarati means approaches, goes near the teacher for this jnanam. Okay, I'm just giving upasarati a simple verb. Then, when he approaches this teacher, how does he go? Upahara panihi. In the generally we say samit panihi. All these teachers in the Gurukulam, they perform rituals and all that, so they may need samit. Samit means, you know, this twigs required for performing rituals. So you don't need to, you don't bring samit here, okay? I'm just telling, just the tradition. What it conveys is, upahara panihi does not mean, upaharaha also means some simple food. Okay. Upaharaha or samit or some flower or something people take and go. Why? Because three people are supposed to be seen with something in the hand. When you go to meet a king, you're supposed to take something with you. When you go and see the teacher, you're supposed to take something with you. And when you go to the temple to pray to the Lord, you're supposed to take something. You know, Rikta Panihi Nagachet. We never go to these three places empty-handed. We always take something and go. Don't ask me why and all that, okay? So that's been there in the tradition culture. So here also, that to highlight that culture, he says, Upahara Panihi. Upahara Panihi or Samit Panihi. Now, with something, taking something in the hand, one has to go approach the teacher. So that to highlight the culture, he mentions that. So this student, you know, this I am Adhikari. This Adhikari, Gurum Upasarati, Kidrusham Gurum Upasarati, does not go to somebody, you know, who simply mesmerizes or simply makes the person feel excited by his, you know, some miracles or something. But he really approaches the person who is Shrotriyaha, the person of profound knowledge, and the person who remains steadfast in the vision of the Shastram, Brahmanishtaha. And when he goes also, what does he do there? He there, Tam Anusarati, approaches the teacher, and Anusarati. Anusarati means follows the teacher. Follows the teacher means what? He does some service to the teacher staying in the Gurukulam. Anusarati. Tam Anusarati. Why? Because it takes some time. Staying in the Gurukulam with the teacher or serving the teacher for some time helps him, you know, to become accustomed to the situation where he lives, isn't it? Whenever you go, you would have been living in a completely different atmosphere. And when you go to a new place, that is why I always believe, you know, when 2 weeks camp, I take people from here. By the time they come there, getting over jet lag and getting used to ashram food, getting used to the time, 1 week goes. And in next one more week and back pain, front pain, and they have to come back here. So, always is very important for us, for you, because it's a very in-depth teaching here, very intense teaching here. When you go to the teacher, you can't just rush there, isn't it? You must be so relaxed. And for you to be relaxed, you must get accustomed to the whole setup, whole atmosphere there. Everything must, because the complete change, isn't it? You would have been living in a different place all these days. When you go to the teacher in the Gurukulam, they completed different atmosphere. So getting accustomed to the place also needs some time. So being there, doing some service, you get accustomed, get used to, it takes some time, isn't it? Then you get ready for the teaching. Therefore, Tam Anusarati. And how does he go here? So this, I am Adhikari, Upahara Panihi, with something in his hand, approaches this teacher ஸ்ரோத்ரியம் பிரம்மனிஷ்டம் குரும் உபசரதி உபசிருத்திய அப்ரோச் ஹிம் அனுசரதி ஹி ஃபாலோஸ் ஹிம் டஸ் த நீட்ஃபுல் சர்வ்ஸ் ஹிம் ஸ்டேயிங் தேர். பட் வென் ஹி கோஸ் தேர் ஹவு டஸ் ஹி கோ, வாட் இஸ் ஹிஸ் சிச்சுவேஷன், வாட் இஸ் ஹிஸ் கண்டிஷன், மென்டல் கண்டிஷன்? He goes, approaches the teacher with real seriousness, with intense urge, desire. He goes to the teacher. And what is the intensity of his urge? What intensity of his desire? Intensity, how serious this student is. That is said in the very first line. First line, look at this. Janana maranadi samsara anala santaptaha. Santaptaha. No, taptaha means scorched. Scorched. Highly afflicted. Scorched. Afflicted. And he is scorched, afflicted by what? Afflicted by analaha, the fire. Here fire is what? Here samsara is likened to a fire. The fire is capable of scorching things, burning, and is it burning? Burning means what? Causing severe pain, isn't it? When you're small, your finger gets little burnt by some small, even some heat of the vessel during cooking, or sometimes if you're burnt, how painful it is. Imagine being burnt, being scorched by the fire. Very, very painful, isn't it? Which means this person must have gone through, lot of pain in his life. So, anala santaptaha, the one who is scorched by, or burnt by, highly afflicted by the pain of the fire of samsara. Samsara analaha. Analaha means fire. Samsara analaha means fire of samsara. Samsara neruppinal. Samsara analena santaptaha. Santaptaha. And what is, how samsara is, the pain is in what form? Janana marana adi. There is birth, now birth of a child always brings joy, but death of old person also is what? Is this why in Bhagavad Gita, Swamiji explained beautifully, shochya, universally shochya, isn't it? Death is not at all desirable, very painful. Not only death causes pain. Before, even though we all know death is something inevitable, unavoidable, death is definite, not for one person, for all the people, whoever is born, death is definite, we know very well. In spite of knowing, and we are going to go tomorrow, and not tomorrow, immediately, sometime we are also going to go, we know very well, every time we go for cremation, we know this fact. They would come and tell me, today we had to attend the funeral. We're attending funeral. One day somebody will be attending our funeral also. Or attending or not somebody, there'll be funeral. The funeral is something, for all of us, there is a birthday celebration every year, isn't it? Celebration is there or not, every day we do think of birthday. In every year, birthday, 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 1 year, no birthday. Why? Only funeral. Cremation day. Now, first, no birthday. And other people will be celebrating, the family members doing Shraddham Tithihi. This is something we know. In spite of knowing, when death happens, it is not easy to handle. It depends upon how mature you are, depends upon how old the person who died, depending on so many reasons, so much degree of pain varies. in keeping with the who died. Somebody died unknown to me, who cares? Who died? How close I am to the person? And now, how, what my relationship is with that person? And how old that person is? Very young person dies, very painful for anybody, for all of us. And how did the person die? All these things now, in keeping with the many, lot of information, actually our degree of pain varies. So there is pain. And pain, what does the pain do? Really, pain scorches you, torments you, really. That is why pain is also known by the term tapaha. Tapaha means heat. The heat can scorch. Heat of the fire can scorch. The heat of the sun can dry all everything into, dry everything, scorch everything. Similarly here also, the pain also is likened to dukkham, also is likened to tapaha, heat. It can scorch. So matli maranam, janana marana, adi. Adi Shabda stands for etc. Adi Shabda stands for all the undesirable situations in life. Until Maranam, what all we go through, the whole life if we take. Old age, you know, going through that old age, there is pain. And before old age also, what now? And in every, you know, this is the whole life, everyone can write one's own biography. Everyone's life is very significant. Everyone would have gone through, ask somebody, everyone would have gone through both pains and pleasures. Irrespective of how much money they had, how comfortable life they had, doesn't matter. What all they have, everyone would have gone through. There's not one individual who would have escaped going through some painful situations. The whole, they would have gone through. So, janma, janana, marana, adi shabda stands for all, not just one or two, many, many undesirable situations. You know, amidst desirable situations, the painful situations one would have gone through, isn't it? So, janana, marana, adi, that going through the unpleasant, undesirable, unhappy, sorrowful, painful situations, in, you know, until the death. Now, this is what, you know, understands the defects of samsara, going through that. And he would have been scorched by all the pains. That is why when we do the Shanti Patah also, we say, Stapatraya Nivaranartam Trivaram Shantihi. Why do we say, whenever you say Shanti Patah, you say, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Why? Because there is a Tapatrayam we go through. Tapatraya means pain. Pain is, the pain will scorch. Pain is scorching really. And this pain afflicts. Afflicted, what sort of pain? Pain caused by different varieties of problems. And arising from three different sources. Either I myself become a source of a problem, or, you know, people associated with me, or things associated with me become the source of problems, or nothing but nature itself can cause, can be responsible for some problems. So somehow or the other, some problem or the other will be there in life, either adi bhautika tapa or adi daivika or adhyatmika. So all these, you know, problems will be there, and the problems result in pain, and that pain is tapaha. Isn't it? Not only that, but whole life we had to see. Whole life. So, janana, marana, adi, samsara, santaptaha. Not taptaha means scorched. Santaptaha means well, no? Highly afflicted, very much one who suffered, such a person, santaptaha, samsara anala santaptaha, upahara panihi, he approaches the teacher with something in his hand, approaches this teacher. But how does he approach? Now before we go there, I want to tell you one more thing. Don't think, we are not santaptaha. You may think here, you are talking about an adhikari who is samsara anala santaptaha, one who is highly scorched by the pain of samsara, undesirable, unhappy, sorrowful situations of samsara. But we are all not highly afflicted, Swamiji. We are all okay. Don't say that. What he means is, if a person is highly bright, brilliant, intelligent, according to Vedanta Shastram, okay, very sharp, okay, even little small pain will make you think a lot. See, the highly sensitive person will think. Sensitive means, I'm not talking about highly reactive. We always use the word term sensitivity for, in the wrong sense. Sometimes people who are highly reactive and we think they're very highly sensitive, very sensitive person. I'm sensitive, when I say sensitive, I do not mean the reactive person. Here we mean highly intelligent people, very mature people, those who have analyzed the lives, their own experiences in life, and arrived at the conclusion, my God, I have lived for so many years, and I have done so much of work, I have earned this much money, I worked hard, I could earn this much, I could do this much, I have done all these things, but what have I accomplished? Still I continue to be the same old, slogging and then incomplete and dissatisfied person. No, this also helps him see the limitations. One must be really intelligent and sensitive even for him to start think about, how afflicting the pain is. Even a small problem comes, even the pain caused by the small problem also can make a person think and see how the pain is afflicting. Our problem is, we are so dull, we do not see how afflicting the pain is. That is why people who are not affected by anything are said to be buffaloes. A buffalo may not like it. In India we used to know, enna sonnalum varakkirade illa. So suppose somebody is cold, very sharp, they scold, and then this person doesn't even listen. Nalla maattukku oru soodu delse. Which means you are very bright, intelligent, then even one time, suppose this cow is there, the cow doesn't get up. Okay? Shush. If you say it won't get up, and you take some whip and then hit it many times, if a lot of pain comes, then slowly it get up. But some cows, very brilliant, okay? Just you go and touch them, immediately they just jump and get up. It means alertness. Some cows are very alert. Just by touching once, it gets up. Some buffaloes, even shh, 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 they won't get up. And then you take a whip and then give, and very painful. No? They really feel the whips beating, and then they get up slowly. They get up. They won't quickly get up. It shows alertness, sensitivity, isn't it? The skin is hard skin. Like that, if emotionally, you are not emotional, intellectually, if you are sharp and if you are alert, and even a small problem causes the pain, means that pain can afflict you, then it will wake you up. Okay, that's what he means by saying some janana marana adi sansara anala santaptaha. I'm sure you will not miss the language. Janana marana adi sansara anala santaptaha. No, such. This is the student. I am Adhikari. And the student runs to the teacher. How does he run? Deepta shiraha jalarashim iva. Deepta shiraha means the one whose, you know, head is burning. Burning. Deepta. Kolundu vittu erihindra thalayodu irikkindavan. Deepta shiraha, one whose head is burning with flames, okay? And such person, deepta, well, no, with the flames, he, no, this person, how hard, how desperate he would be to look for some water around, to go and, you know, fall into that water. Jala rashim, he will not look for one pot full of tumbler water or one small glass of water. Suppose if somebody is walking, suppose his, you know, his head is burning with the flames, burning flames, you know, and how painful it would be for him, and he will not come knock at the door. Somebody, please get me a cup of water to, you know, just to put the fire off. He will just be desperate to go and fall even the ditch found in that Kelsey Park. Kelsey Park, there is some small stream, okay? And that is not a clean water. Which water? I don't know whether you all know the secret. Whole Beckenham water goes there, I think. But it looks nice, isn't it? They maintain very well. Not like our comb in India. It's very well maintained. No, Jalarashi. This accumulated, no, the reservoir of water, he will search for, he'll rush towards it. Why? To get him the burning fires of, you know, the flames of fire, to get them off, to get them put off. He will search for that and he'll rush towards it. Isn't it? In the same way, deepta shiraha jalarashim yatha gachati gachet rarashim prati yatha gachet tatha. In the same way, just as this person with burning flames of fire will rush to the reservoir of water in order to get the fire put off, similarly this person also who's burnt and scorched by the pain of the unpleasant, undesirable, the sorrow caused in the whole life in terms of undesirable, unpleasant situations, right from birth onwards till the, you know, including death also. Such a person will go approaches the teacher, and who is of a profound knowledge and who also remains steadfast in the vision of the reality. He approaches the teacher. Is it clear? Tam anusarati. And for which, here the teacher, every sentence when he says something, he wants to make sure it is not his own story, and he quotes from the Upanishad. Some Upanishad or the other he quotes. For what? To say, whatever the teacher says is not his own teaching. It is the teaching of the Upanishad. So the student has to go to the teacher with all seriousness, with all intent, no? Intense urge, desire. He should approach the teacher, knowing the seriousness of the problem of samsara. Only then it becomes a spiritual pursuit. It is not just academic, isn't it? It's not just academic pursuit. We're all studying philosophy and going to this, no, we are interested in knowing the truth. We are all practicing meditation. It is not for academic pursuit. It is not that whenever I want to come, whenever I have time, I can come. No. whether the teacher is there, teacher is not there, some class is happening or not, every day I should make it a point, somehow I should study with the help of the teaching that I have already got, somehow I should study. Because there's nothing better that one can do than studying the Shastra. Because all your worship, all your prayers, all your temple worship, all your pujas, all your punaskaras, all your dharma, all that you have been doing the whole life should culminate in the study or pursuit of knowledge. Really speaking, I'm not saying we should know the value of everything and at the same time limitations of everything. We should do everything that we are doing should be validated now in the light of the value of knowledge only. If it doesn't culminate in the pursuit of knowledge, then whatever you have been doing is meaningless really. I would not say it is useless. It has not really served its purpose. Therefore here, the seriousness one has to understand, that's what he says here. Now, dipta shiraha jalarashim iva. Jalarashihi means what? The accumulation of water, where the big reservoirs of water, isn't it? There one should go to, because that is where he can, because so for which you need jnanam is like that. It is the knowledge. Knowledge alone can put the pain caused by the fire of samsara, afflictions of samsara. All your wounds, burns, the pain, can you put up only by knowledge. And he approaches, for that knowledge, he does not make any independent effort. He approaches the teacher, who is Shrotriya and who is Brahmanishtaha. And this emphasis on the importance of teacher also is based on what is said in the Upanishad. Therefore, the author here quotes, presents a quotation from the Mundaka Upanishad. What is that quotation? Look at this. You should know when I'm teaching, you should know what is being said is for what. Now the quotation begins. Tad vijnanartham saha gurum eva abhigachet. Samit Panihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. This is from Mundaka Upanishad, first chapter, second section, the 12th mantra, it is said. So, ityadi shrutehe. Shrutihi means Upanishad. Okay? The Vedic quotation. Vedic quotation means Upanishadic quotation. From which Upanishad? Mundaka Upanishad. What is that sentence says? What does that sentence say? Look at this. Tad vijnanartham. Vijnanartham means for that knowledge of Brahman. The reality. Saha, that student. Gurum eva abhigachet. He should go only to the teacher, not to anything else, not towards anything else. Going to the teacher means what? Going for the Shastram. When you're going to the teacher, you're going for the Shastram. If there is no Shastram without a teacher means that's not a teacher. Yeah, you have nothing to do with the teacher. Sambandha, Guru, Sishya, Sambandha itself is what? It is Shastram is a Sambandha, isn't it? Otherwise, not for socializing, okay? Therefore, Guru eva abhigachet. He should approach only the teacher. And how? Samit Panihi is something. You know? Samit Panihi, Upahara Panihi, Jala Panihi, Juice Panihi, Banana Panihi, Apple Pani, something, that I don't want to say all those things. Then Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. This Upanishad also mentions what? So don't bring food every week, okay, for all of you. Because see, hearing that, because you said in the last class, even my Eliza baby, where is she? Okay. And nowadays she started bringing food for me. I really thank Bhagavan. I don't know how much people shower love or care here. I told her he has to ask me. She asked me. Tuesday she rang and asked me whether I have food or not, I should drink or not. Now why I'm saying here, I mention it here, you know, because something it is said here, so everybody should not bring, that's why. Anyway, so Brahmanishtam, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Abhigachet. So the words used by the teacher in this textbook are the words used by the Upanishad, used in the Mundaka Upanishads. Okay? Okay, so here, the 30th sentence, the importance of Guru is revealed here, is over. Now let us see the next sentence. Now what should the Guru do? What should be the response on the part of the teacher when a student approaches? If such a serious student approaches the teacher, that how should be, what should be the response? Look at this. Saha Guruhu Parama Krupaya. Parama Krupaya. Adhyaropa, apavada, nyayena, yenam, upadishati. Okay, this is a sentence. Saha guruho upadishati. Upadishati. First of all, you know that this is the root. Upa is a prefix. This means to direct. Upadishati means teaches. Upadishati teaches. Saha guruhu upadishati. That teacher who is approached with all seriousness, and that guruhu teaches this student. And when he teaches, what should be the expectation of the teacher? Suppose whenever we do something, we always have some motive, some intention, isn't it? Without a motive, without an intention, without an expectation, without something, some gain in return, we will never do anything. So, but this here, the teacher also is Upadishati teaches. What makes the teacher teach? What motivates the teacher to teach? Any action needs a motivation. So what is the motivation? What is the intention? Motivation. What motivates the teacher here? Nothing. He is Parama Krupaya. Out of compassion alone. This is very difficult unless you yourself know what can be it means. Being compassionate means you will not know that. So Parama Krupaya, the teacher teaches out of compassion. Because the teacher knows nothing in the of course there is a respect for everything the teacher enjoys from the students. No, the teacher likes it. There's a different thing. But there's no expectation. No, there's no expectation, isn't it? Because why? The teacher knows the teacher is supposed to know the value of the teacher. How can he teach? He or she can teach. Therefore, here, Parama Krupaya. Parama Krupaya out of compassion, with all compassion, with the great compassion, and compassion, being compassionate is not a will, expression of one's will, not a will involved action. Let me be compassionate from 7:30 to 9. One cannot decide to be compassionate for certain, isn't it? It's being compassionate is not an action for any human being, for anybody, not only for the teacher. Whenever you are compassionate, all of us have a certain degree of compassion. When you see some, even a small, when we go to Kelsey Park and you see that every squirrel also, even the fat, plump squirrels, but still you feel like giving something, because you feel. Because tiny beings you see, there's some sort of expression of compassion, isn't it? Compassion is not something will-involved action. It is a very spontaneous expression of one's nature, isn't it? So one's own nature, real nature is compassion. Real nature that you will understand later on, we're going to see later on that one. So here, so compassionately, paramakripaya guruhu upadishati. Okay, guruhu upadishati. And how does he teach? You by this method, by following this method. See, now he is first introducing the method of teaching. The teaching methodology. Using this method of teaching, what is that method? Adhyaropa apavada nyayena. From here onwards, you will understand everything. This is what this book is very good in that way. We do not get all this information in other textbooks. You are going to see everything. Adhyaropa apavada nyayena. Adhyaropa apavada method. Adhyaropa apavada prakriya. Isn't it? Adhyaropa apavada nyayena means with this method of adhyaropa apavada, this teacher with compassion teaches this student who approached him desperately for knowledge. Understand? Okay. Now here the question comes. And here this teacher teaches this student using this adhyaropa apavada method. Means when a sentence is given, whenever a sentence is expressed, that sentence should create some sort of a question in the mind of a student. That which gives rise to a question is called what? That anything that which paves way for the rising of the question in the mind of a student. And the student should immediately express that, no? Kar akanksha paddhatihi. Akanksha paddhatihi means the method of knowing some, you know, knowing, no, arriving at the unknown through the known. Now you have known something. What have you known? The teacher teaches using the adhyaropa apavada method. Now what question should arise? What is adhyaropa apavada method? Isn't it? Hereafter really, this is only now onwards the teaching begins. What is that adhyaropa apavada nyaya? That question should have come in your mind. He is going to explain. And here the teacher teaches the student, responds to the student's approach. That for that also, this author wants to present a quotation. Guruhu paramakarunikaha, the highly compassionate teacher, you know. So that he quotes, look at this. The quotation is for what? Quotation is for saying any teacher definitely will teach the student who approaches him for jnanam. For which teacher said, I am not saying this. Upanishad says, he wants to quote. What does he say now? Look at this. Again, Mundaka Upanishad, quotation. From here onwards, the quotation, Upanishadic quotation. Tasmai saha vidvan upasannaya samyak prashanta chittaya shamanvitaya yena aksharam purusham veda satyam provacha tam tatvato brahma vidyam. Don't get frightened of this sentence. Okay, this is a mantra quoted from Mundaka Upanishad. For what? Just to state, the teacher teaches the student. And here, this is a mantra which states, the student, when he approaches the teacher, and the student who is prashanta chittaha, who is qualified in terms of purity, and who is steady-minded, shaman vitaha, and for him, he teaches the aksharam purusham satyam. He teaches that he gives the Brahma knowledge of Brahman. How? Tattvataha, as it has to be given, he teaches the student so that the student can understand the imperishable absolute reality. So provacham, the teacher taught the student, gave him the Brahma Vidya. This is the meaning of this mantra, is it? So mantra is quoted just to say, the teacher teaches. That's all, nothing more here. Is it clear? Okay. Now, as I already told you, I have already said, Akanksha. Akanksha means what? Akanksha means, is it the desire to know something unknown from the known? You have heard this sentence, the teacher teaches using the Adhyaropa Apavada method. Then now you want to know, what is that Adhyaropa Apavada method? That is explained here now. You don't express that question, it is in your mind, and the teacher knows that question would have come in your mind, so he answers the question which would have risen in your mind. Okay? Look at this. Now, explanation of a definition of Adhyaropaha. First, understand Adhyaropaha, then we will understand Apavadaha. Adhyaropaha literally means superimposition. Apavadaha literally means negation. So the method of superimposition and negation is called Adhyaropa Apavada method. Now we have to understand first what it means by saying superimposition in this method. Okay? You have to understand the method first. Then we have can understand the teaching later on. Asarpabhutayam. Asarpabhutayam. Rajau. Sarparopavat. Vastuni. Avastu. Aropaha Vastuni Avastvaropaha Adhyaropaha. Okay. See, Adhyaropaha superimposition. Is defined in Viveka Chudamani as Atasmin Tadbuddhihi. Understand the sentence. Atasmin Tadbuddhihi. seeing something else, seeing something else on something. அது அல்லாததில் அதை பார்ப்பது. அதஸ்மின் தத் புத்திஹி. இஃப் தர் இஸ் அ சாரி அண்ட் இஃப் யூ ஸ்டிச் அ பார்டர் நோ தி எட்ஜ் ஆஃப் தி சாரி தட்ஸ் ஆல்சோ வாட் நோ சூப்பர் இம்போசிஷன் பட் தட் வி டு நாட் தட் போத் தர் இஸ் அ சாரி தர்ஸ் ஆல்சோ பார்டர். If there's a shirt, you stitch a button, that's also what? Button is the superimposition of the button. But both are there. Button is, shirt is. Isn't it? Both have samana satta. Samana satta means both are equally real. Shirt is, button is. Button was not there before, the shirt was. And you stitch the button. The button has been superimposed. Means what? Here samana satta, both are, both enjoy the equal reality. So here we are not talking about that equal reality here. Okay? It is something different. Look at this. So he says, suppose if there is a rope, the rope, isn't it? But in that rope, what you see? Snake. There's no snake, isn't it? So seeing the snake on something else which is not the snake. It can be a piece of garland, a piece of wire, a piece of cable, it can be a piece of rope, anything. Seeing the snake upon something, okay, anything other than the rope. What is seen is what? Snake. But where is the snake is seen? On something which is not the snake. That is more important. Seeing the snake on something which is not the snake or anything other than the snake is what? Atasmin tadbuddhihi. It's called adhyaropaha. Understand? Which means erroneous perception. Or you superimpose a snake upon the rope. The superimposition of the snake upon the rope. So here he gives example. அசர்ப பூதாயாம் ரஜ்ஜௌ. ரஜ்ஜு மீன்ஸ் அ ரோப். அ ரோப் இஸ் கால்ட் ரஜ்ஜு. சோ ஆன் தி ரோப் ரஜ்ஜௌ. ரஜ்ஜௌ இஸ் லோகேட்டிவ் கேஸ். ரஜ்ஜு உக்காராந்த சப்த, தேர்ஃபோர் இட்ஸ் இன் செவன்த் கேஸ். ரஜ்ஜௌ அண்ட் ரோப். அசர்ப பூதா. அசர்ப பூதா ரஜ்ஜு மீன்ஸ் வாட்? த ரோப் விச் இஸ் நாட் த ஸ்னேக். The rope which is not the snake, in on that rope, sarpa aropaha, sarpasya aropaha. So seeing the snake or superimposing the snake on the rope which is not the snake. Is it clear? This is called adhyaropaha. Any doubt? Okay. In the same way, he says, vastuni, vastuni avastu aropaha. Actually, we are not interested in knowing the snake being superimposed upon the rope. It's only example. Understand, snake, rope is only example. But what is superimposed by all of us? That's the problem. Vastuni avastu aropaha. Vastu, there is something called vastu, and there is also avastu, superimposition of avastu upon the vastu. Now you can understand, superimposition of avastu upon the vastu. So the vastu which is not the avastu, okay, on that vastu which is not the avastu, avastu is seen, superimposed. Vastu, avastu, are you all hearing or what? The Sanskrit terms. Because when you have come to Vedanta Sara class, and this is the preparation for all your studies later on, because how even these words, if there is no preparedness to understand even the words like vastu, avastu, and how can we teach? Is it? Vastu, avastu. So to make us understand, vastuni avastvaropaha adhyaropaha. You can read this definition. Vastuni, say now.
Vastuni.
Avastvaropaha.
Adhyaropaha.
What is adhyaropaha? Definition of adhyaropaha. Beautiful. You can memorize here. After you have to memorize. Vastuni avastu aropaha. It sounds like Gujarati language. No, Mita? Yeah. For us all, Gujarati, Marathi, all Indian language people, it's not difficult. Vastu, avastu, it's very common. Vastu. Vastuni. Avastu aropaha. Superimposition of avastu upon the vastu. Which means super, like what? Vat, like. The superimposition of snake upon the rope which is not the snake. Is it clear? This is called adhyaropaha. It need not be only rope. It can be anything. You superimpose this snake. But, okay, on which you superimpose, if you will see the snake as the snake, it is not superimposition, isn't it? When you see the snake on something which is other than, which is not the snake, that's called superimposition. Mistake. Understand? Mistaking one for the other. And superimposition of one thing upon the other which is not. I think I made it very clear. Now, when I say vastuni avastu aropaha is adhyaropaha, like superimposition of the snake on the rope which is not the snake, then what should be your akanksha? What should be the question in your mind? What is vastu? What is avastu? We don't even know what is vastu, what is avastu. So we do not even know how can one thing be superimposed upon the other thing. We are so innocent. So literally, vastu means anything which is existent is said to be vastu, porul. Irikkinra porul, an existent object, an existent thing is also indicated generally by this word vastu. But according to Vedanta Shastram, vastu means that which alone is vastu, irikkinra porul. But we think what? That is, this is, for us everything vastu, every vastu, isn't it? Every object is vastu in our perception. In Vedanta Drishti, that which alone is, that which is, that which alone exists is called Vastu. Understand? Vastu. Vasati asti iti vastu. Vasati, that which exists, that which is, that which alone, which is vastu. Understand vastu first. With reference to ocean, take the example of ocean. Ocean asti, then tarangaha asti, not one tarangaha, not one wave, many waves are ocean is, no, for us, ocean is a vastu, wave is a vastu, waves are many vastus for us. But for an intelligent person, water alone is vastu. Why? Water is vastu with reference to ocean. One example, okay, don't take, later on don't say vastu is water. With reference to ocean, water is vastu. Which means wave is not a vastu. Ocean is not a vastu. Waves are not vastus. Understand? Water alone is vastu. Why? What is wave and ocean? Waves and ocean, or I can say ocean full of waves, is only appearance of the only vastu called water. Next class, when you come back, you should come back having memorized the definitions. Vastuni avastu aropaha adhyaropaha. Superimposition of avastu upon the vastu is adhyaropaha. Now itself, some of you must have memorized. Is it clear now? So here, according to Vedanta Shastra, we say, Griham is a vastu. Everything is vastu, vastu, vastu. Vas itself means what? Wealth. Vasu means wealth. That is why Mahalakshmi is called Vasudha, bestower of wealth. Vasudha, the possessor of wealth. Vasudha, Vasundhara, Vasudha, we say. So that which, no, but that is different here. Here, vastu means that which is. So anything which is, we take as what? Vastu. But according to Shastram, that which alone is, that which is vastu. Okay, so therefore we have to know. So the question might come, what is that vastu? Now, what is avastu? We don't need to worry here. In this definition, you need to understand what is the definition of adhyaropaha. Then he will take you to, apavadaha later on. But now, he is going to explain what is vastu. What is vastu? What is avastu? Look at this next sentence. Vastu Satchidanandam Advayam Brahma Ajnanadi Sakala Jada Samuhaha Avastu Ajnanadi Sakala jada samuho vastu. Ajnana, read it. Adi. Ajnanadi. Sakala jada samuha. jadasamuha avastu. He very beautifully he says, what is vastu, what is avastu. Only then you can understand what is superimposition of avastu upon the vastu. Okay. That which is vastu means, he says, the whole, we think so, all these varieties of objects which constitute the universe are. But Shastram says, Sat Chit Anandam Advayam Brahma Vastu. If at all there is, okay, if there is something, you know, what is here? It absolute reality. Reality alone is. Reality alone is vastu. The reality is implied by the term Brahma. So the reality of everything, reality of the entire cosmos, therefore reality of the universe individual also. The reality of the entire cosmos, the entire universe means, it implies what? Reality of the individual also. Because every individual is part of the universe, isn't it? Therefore, reality of the whole implies reality of the individual, reality of every individual, reality of everything, reality of all that is here, reality of the whole cosmos, implied by the term Brahman alone is vastu. What is that reality? We are going to say later on, okay? But now only definition means understand that much. Sat Chit Anandam Advayam Brahma. Satchidanandaha Atma, Satchidanandam Brahma, same. Look at this. Sat means existence. Chit means consciousness. Anandam, happiness or fullness. And then Advayam implies Anantam. Advayam means what? Non-dual. Non-dual means indivisible. Indivisible means what? Fullness, isn't it? The whole. Therefore, Satchit Anandam, Advayam means Anantam, Brahma Vastu. Brahman alone is Vastu. What Brahman alone means what? The reality implied by the term Brahman in terms of consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of happiness or fullness. Fullness implies indivisible, non-dual. Reality alone is vastu, which means Brahman alone is. Vastu is that which alone exists. That which alone is. It's very difficult for us. When I gave the example of ocean, waves, water, and we say, yes, wave is, ocean is, and you said, finally, what we understood, what really is with reference to ocean is water. Similarly, with reference to the entire cosmos, of innumerably countless forms and names and objects. Every object is a vastu for us. According to Vedanta Shastram, Brahman, the reality implied by the term Brahman. Okay, the reality implied by the term Brahman, and which is of the nature of consciousness, existence, happiness, and which is of the nature of, which is non-dual, or I can say which is of the nature of fullness, alone is. Brahman is vastu. The reality is vastu. Don't worry about Satchidananda, we'll understand later on. That is why studying, isn't it? If you understand now itself Achyudanandam Brahma, then whole Vedanta Sara text you will not come back. So it's only explaining here. Vastu is Brahma. Brahma is a term implying the reality. The reality is of the nature of consciousness, existence, happiness, fullness. Okay, that reality alone is vastu. There is no vastu other than Brahma. That is what I implied here. There is no vastu other than Brahma. With reference to ocean and waves, you say there is no vastu other than water. How sure you are? Vedanta Shastra says, with reference to this whole cosmos, there is no vastu other than Brahma. What is only Brahma. What exists is only Brahma. Brahma is reality. Iruppadellam parampurul onru mattume. Vastu. Then, will the next sentence?
Ajnanadi
sakala jadasamuha avastu. Now, what is avastu? Avastu. Ajnana adi. Don't say something non-existent. What is avastu? The word avastu means what? Look at this. Ajnana adi. Ajnanam here should not be taken as ignorance. Don't take it as ignorance. Even though the word ignorance, we use it, no? We know the word ignorance, opposite of knowledge. But here, ajnanam implies prakritihi. Prakritihi means what? Moola ajnanam. Moola avidya means prakritihi. Prakritihi, moola avidya, moola ajnanam means original, subtlest matter. Original matter, subtlest matter, or matter in its subtlest form is called what? One more term you get. Ajnanam means ignorance. Ajnanam, okay, but here the word ajnanam implies prakritihi. Prakritihi means the matter. Which matter? The matter in its original subtlest form. Then adi. Ajnana adi means the original matter on etc. means sakala. Sakala means entirety. The universe in its entirety. Samuha, the collection of all the objects of this world. The collection of all the objects which constitute this universe. The universe in its entirety of all the, collectively of all the objects. Come under the category of the jadam. Isn't it? Avastu. Avastu. To be frank, ajnanam means prakriti. Adi shabda stands for the universe. So, adi sakala jada samuhaha avastu means the cause. Prakriti is the matter, is the cause. The matter in the causal form and the matter in the effect form. Okay, the matter, whether it obtains in causal form or it obtains in the form of an effect, obtains as the effect or obtains in causal form, it is avastu. Matter is avastu. So ajnana adi onwards implies the karyam. Ajnanam implies karanam. Adi word, the word adi onwards, the rest of the words imply karyam. Karanam means cause, karya means effect, isn't it? The word ajnanam implies the matter in the causal form. From the adi onwards, the matter in the form of an effect, the universe. Collectively of all the objects. Sakala samuhaha. Samuha means collectively, you know, collection of all the objects which constitute this universe entirely, which is nothing but modification of this prakriti, which is ajnanam. Okay? Both cause and effect means what? Matter in the causal form is avastu. Matter in the form of effect also is avastu. Cause itself is avastu means, and how can you say effect is something different? Cause is avastu means effect also must be avastu, isn't it? You go understand the definition of avastu later on. Now we understand this much. So that's why if you read translations, they might use the word ignorance. Be very careful. Okay. Here you have to use the term for ajnanam implies prakriti. Prakritihi is the word used for matter. And the matter in its original form, causal form is avastu. And the same matter modified, obtaining as the effect also is avastu. Whether clay or pot. Is it clear now? Cause and the effect, we say. So, is avastu. Vastu, avastu. It's like really spoon feeding, isn't it? Like nicely, like a pharynx. And we are in doing all the classes and it comes going to really teach us. That's why it's a very important class for everybody. You know why? You won't have any struggle if we are supposed to have finished the Vedanta Sahara much before. Then you should have come to other Upanishad classes. Then it will be very easy. There won't be any vagueness. So you're all very lucky. You're in the right text, right place. And even here, because many of you do not know Sanskritam, and you can find any, if you have any difficult to understand, please feel free to ask me later on. Sajnanadi sakala jada samuhaha avastu. So now you can say the cause is, the matter in the causal form is avastu, effect form is avastu. And you can say cause means unmanifest is also avastu, manifest also is avastu. Prakriti is unmanifest, cause is unmanifest, and universe is what? Manifest is karyam. Karanam avyaktam, karyam vyaktam. Unmanifest cause or the manifest effect? Undifferentiated cause or differentiated forms with the different names. You know? All are what now? Collectively, avastu, not one. Vastu is one. Avastu samuhaha, he says. Jada samuhaha. The matter, the inert matter in causal form or in the form of an effect comes under the category of the avastu. Now you have understood what is vastu, what is avastu, you know. And the superimposition of avastu upon the vastu is adhyaropaha. Superimposition, you know. We have yet to know what is apavada, will come later on. Now, see, you can see that oneness of the vastu and the multitude of the avastus. So now I'm going to stop here because time isn't running, Jay. Okay, now the next question will be interesting. What will be the question? What is this ajnanam? You're going to first probe into this ajnanam next class. What is this matter? No way. Our ignorance, which is the root cause of samsara. And you need to know what is this ignorance all about. You need to know. Therefore, we will analyze this matter first. Then only we'll go to vastu. Just don't be any confused. Just be with the text. The teacher himself will, every step he'll define every word and take you systematically. Is it clear? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.